tape Betty Cowie and Mrs. Jackson, June 1981, history of the museum, family relationships in St. Paul. Let's see how that goes now. Let's see how they do it. We're near you. Don't let it scare you.
No, I won't.
It's a really, this is a neat little tape recorder I bought myself. I tape letters.
Is it on now? Yes. Well, spot comments from me are what are going to be forthcoming. I'm thinking back to the film, the science films, and how much they counted in the public schools. And I wonder if we should not have a pay some attention to the science courses in the schools, in some way highlight them for the 75. Celebration, for the celebration.
I think that's a good idea. You mean the, as regards to what has been done?
Well, as regards to using the, highlighting the interest in science in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there should be something done which would highlight the science classes and their relation to the teachers of mm-hmm. science in mm-hmm. St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was successfully done in connection with the Harvard science films.
Right.
And interested the teachers in the public schools in the science museum as they had not been before. There were individual teachers who were very helpful, but we had a series of events for science teachers, particularly in the 7th and 8th grades. That's the end of my comment at the moment.
Well, I have some comments on that subject. I think there were also, when I started working there or volunteering there, was the time when, that was at the very beginning of the SMA, and that was the time when we started taking school loans out to the schools, and this was one of the volunteers' first projects. And it was a totally new program because you didn't just send a box of rocks out to the school. You sent a volunteer out to the school who was, there were actually little science curricula that were geared to the elementary school curricula, so that we would send the collection stuff, like the box of rocks, plus a volunteer who gave a talk, plus a library of books that went with the exhibit. And this was, could be signed up by the teacher, so that it came at a time when they were studying rocks in their regular science curricula. So it was really a new concept. I don't think it's been done anywhere else, where people actually go into the classroom and lecture and let the students ask them questions and then leave a library of books plus the actual objects. And I'm sure, you know, that there are a lot of other examples through the history of the museum where they have dealt with the science curricula and the science teachers in a very intimate way. You know, there was Jim Shannon, who was doing a lot with the, he worked for the schools, and then he, whether he was working partly for the Science Museum, I don't know, but I think there are people who should be recognized, like Jim Shannon, who was connected both with the museum and with the schools, you know. And
well, I'm sure that we can develop something which would be very advantageous and would be helpful to the museum and would be also good advertisement for the alertness of the public schools in the teaching of science. And that brings me to remind us all that we had a wonderful superintendent of the parochial schools of the Catholic diocese in Father Burns on our board for a number of years before he retired back to parish work.
I'll look him up and see how long he was on.
I think he was on for 10 years in the 30s and early 40s. And he and Father Shannon were both very strong on science teaching in the parochial schools.
I don't have, well, yes I do. It's B-Y-R-N-E-S, Reverend,
yes.
J-A.
Yes.
He was a trustee from 1931 to 1941.
Yes.
And he was chairman of the nominating committee in 1939.
He was a very remarkable man, and he did a great deal for the modernizing of the parochial schools in the city of St. Paul.
Now I have a yellow card on him that you said got science started in the parochial schools, and he was crazy about the museum, and there should be something done in his honor for outstanding service.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anybody else in the schools? I know that early on, weren't all the superintendents, they were ex officio members of the board. You're early in, I don't know.
Yes. Yes, the public schools cooperated from the beginning,
mm-hmm,
with the St. Paul Institute of Arts and Sciences.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Heater was the very fine superintendent of the public schools.
I wonder if I have him. Was he at the beginning?
I think his name was Sylvester Heater.
Is it H-E-E?
Yes.
Yes, I do. Here, you have him. Heater, S.L., ex officio trustees, executive committee, 1909 to 1910, chairman of the school committee, 1909 to 1910.
Well, he was a very remarkable man and most enthusiastic about the St. Paul Institute.
And you say, I have here that he ran the night schools.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And it's really hard to believe that the city didn't have night schools before that for people who were unable to continue with high school.
Right. Okay.
Now can we turn that off for the moment?
Yes, I'll turn it off. I forget that it's tape that.
Well, I think he was, but I can't, well, since I can't remember.
Talking about Paul Amidon. Excuse me, I was just keying in the tape who we were talking about.
Yes, we were talking about Paul Amidon, but I can't remember. Only his main name is very familiar, and I wonder if he wasn't connected with the school.
Probably
board.
Was.
But he was a good man.
Now, Abbott is dead, is he? I don't
Yes.
Let me write. We can do some of that. I can write who's deceased. Abbott is deceased. I'll put deceased. Let's see, where will I put it? I'll put it up here in the right-hand corner, a little D. Adams, Dr. Robert, honorary board, 1980.
I don't know anything about him.
Do you know anything about Abbott?
Ned Abbott, I should.
He was trustee 31 to 33.
Is Mrs. Ned Abbott in the Century Club? Is that? I'll have to check that.
Okay.
If so, I think she's not well.
You don't know about his children.
Well, it just depends upon whether that's the family or not. I will check the Abbott's.
Okay. Adams is recent. Allen is recent. Okay, let me see if I've got things right under Ames. You check me out on this now. Charles W. is the granddaughter of Mrs. Sally Ellis. And Mrs. Sally Ellis is Charles W. Ames's granddaughter.
Yes.
And
Charles Leslie Ames's daughter.
Yes. And
Mrs.
Norris Jackson, you are the daughter of Charles W. Ames.
Yes.
And Mary Wright McDonald is Charles W. Ames's
granddaughter.
Granddaughter? I didn't have that.
So I can list all the members of our family.
Why don't you just say it in the tape recorder?
Well, I think it'd be better. It's a long list.
Well, that doesn't matter. The tape goes on.
Well,
90 minutes.
I'd just be very hesitant. The tape is going on now.
Yeah, tape is going on.
Well, I have to start with Charles W. Ames.
Why don't we do all of Charles W. Ames's children?
All right. But they're all dead, excepting myself.
Well, that's all right. Maybe we should have them.
But they're since they're all dead, excepting myself, we just name their children.
Okay.
Well, Mrs. Edwin Wolf, W-O-L-F-F.
She was Charles Leslie's daughter.
Yes.
This was Mrs. Sally Ellis.
Yes.
Okay.
Then Mrs. Cushing Wright's family come next. Margaret Ames Wright.
Just a minute, I'm out of pink. Let me see if I have some more pink cards, because all I have for her is Mary Wright McDonald. Is that the only one?
No. John C. Wright.
Okay, I don't have this. Ames, Charles W.
Yes.
Okay, John C.
Wright.
Now we're doing whose children again?
Margaret Ames Wright. Children.
I'm sorry, my brain isn't working.
Well, neither is mine, but Margaret Ames Wright's children are John C. Wright.
Okay. Mary Wright McDonald. And
Theodore D. Wright. And Shirley Wright Dastrobe. That's D, small d. Capital E-S-T-R-U-B-E.
I'm slow this morning. You have to spell Dastrobe for me.
Dastrobe is small d.
D. G.
Oh, capital E-S-T-R-U-B-E.
E-S-T-R-U-B-E. Let's see. Small d, apostrophe, capital E-S-T-R-U-B-E. Okay.
Accent aigu.
All right, now we got, let's see, John C. Wright, Theodore Wright, Shirley Wright, Dastrobe.
Yes.
And
next comes the children of Catherine, C-A-T-H-A-R-E-N-E-I-N-E. Ames Turner, T-U-R-N-E-R. Or Samuel Epps Turner. Capital Epps is E-P-E-S. Turner.
Samuel Epps Turner.
Mary Turner Kenna.
Mary
Turner Kenna, K-E-N-N-A.
Yeah.
Alice Turner Winfield.
Alice
Turner Winfield.
W-I-N-F-I-E-L-D. No, okay.
Elizabeth Turner.
Elizabeth Turner.
And the...
We missed a lot of people here.
And James Turner, deceased.
James Turner.
Deceased.
Deceased. Okay.
Next comes Alice Ames Crothers, deceased.
Alice, these are all going to be her children?
Yes.
Alice.
Well.
Ames. Crothers is C-A-R-R-E.
C-R-O-T-H-E-R-S.
Oh.
C-R-O-T-H-E-R-S.
Deceased.
Charles Gordon Crothers. Absolutely no use having him on the list.
Okay.
And Elizabeth Ames Jackson, alive at the moment.
Elizabeth Ames
and
Jackson.
Leela D.J. Poulada.
Leela
D.J. Poulada. That's L-E-I-L-A. And?
I'm sorry, I didn't get Poulada.
P-O-U-L-L-A-D-A.
A-D-A.
And Catherine, C-A-T-H-A-R-I-N-E. Jackson Wise, W-I-S-E.
Okay. Now wait a minute here.
I don't think we have to have this on.
Well, he wants it on, so
for
I'm
every
not
minute?
Argue.
I think.
Yeah, it's too. It's too confusing if I keep turning it on and off all the time.
I see. Okay. I have to speak only in terms of jewels.
No, you don't have to with a tape recorder. Now, Theodore B. Wright, Ames, Charles W. Ames, and Shirley Wright, I didn't get their mother's name. They're Mary Ames.
Wolf.
No, it's who's the parent of Theodore B. Wright? Theodore B. Wright.
Theodore D.
D. Oh.
T.D.
T.D.? Oh, okay.
<You know.
laughs> That's who that is.
Yes.
Now.
Well, then I. Theodore G. Ames is deceased. You see, all my siblings have died.
Okay.
And his widow is alive.
Okay, his widow's name is Mrs. Theodore G. Ames.
But she doesn't believe in memorials.
Oh, I will leave her. Okay. Does they have any children?
Yes.
Okay. You must think I'm awfully stupid.
No.
I don't. I'm just not thinking about anything. I'm just sort of taking
Well, we haven't been putting down that generation, have we?
Yes, because we've been putting down, like, Mary Ames.
Oh, yes.
Wolf and Sally Ellis.
Yes, that's true. Well, the Theodore Ames children are Nancy Ames English.
Nancy Ames English.
I'll give you their married names later, because with their addresses.
Okay.
Peter Leslie Ames, that's L-E-S-L-E-Y, Ames.
Okay.
Well, and the next one has died, so.
Okay.
Don't put her down.
All right.
And Linda Ames Porter.
Okay.
None of them very affluent,
mm-hmm.
as that generation is not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In fact, I don't think any of us are very affluent.
I know. Now, let me see here what I have. Oh. It's easiest if I just spread them out on your floor here.
Yes.
Okay, now these are all descendants of Charles W. Ames.
Yes.
Now I have, I don't have Leslie Ames. I must have him in here somewhere.
Baker.
No, oh yes, Baker. Linda Baker Ames.
His wife.
Yeah. Okay, so we have Charles Leslie Ames, and then we have Sally Ellis.
And Mary Wolf.
Mary Wolf. And where do I have? Mary Wolf is here. And then I have Charles Leslie Ames' sister, which is
his widow.
Yeah, now I'm going on to the Wrights now.
His sister is Margaret Ames Wright.
Margaret Ames Wright. Okay, just a minute. And she is no longer living.
She is no longer living.
Margaret Ames Wright. And her children were Theodore D. Wright,
John C.
Wright, and Mary, Shirley Wright Destrebay.
And Mary McDonald.
And Mary Wright McDonald.
M-A-C.
Right, I've got that.
Yes.
Okay, then we have Catherine Ames Turner.
Yes.
And we have Mary Turner Kenneth, Samuel Epps Turner, Alice Turner Winfield, Elizabeth Turner, and James Turner, deceased.
Yes.
Alice Ames...
Elizabeth Turner.
Elizabeth Turner. Yes, I have her.
Yes.
And Alice Ames Crothers, Charles Gordon Crothers, Elizabeth Ames Jackson, Leela D. Puletta, Catherine Jackson Wise.
Leela D. J.
Leela D. J. Okay, Theodore G. Ames, Nancy Ames English, Peter Leslie Ames, and Linda Ames Porter. Okay, perfect. Now, I'm going to turn this off because... Okay, now it's taping, okay? Okay, now I have here then Alice Ames Crothers, Charles Gordon Crothers, then... Elizabeth Ames Jackson, Leela and Kitty, Theodore G. Ames is Ames Charles W. Where do they live?
Who?
Theodore G. Ames.
Oh.
Do I know them?
Well, Teddy died, you see, a long time ago. All my siblings have died.
Nancy Ames English,
Nancy Ames English lives in Washington.
Oh, that's
Chevy,
why I don't know.
Chevy them. Chase. No, they don't, any of them live here.
I see. What about, now I think maybe we should go through.
Oh, I didn't, I left out Clara. Turner Greenman.
Oh yes, wait a minute. Now Nancy Ames English, Peter Leslie Ames, and Linda Ames Porter are all grandchildren of Charles W. Ames.
Yes.
Granddaughter. Grandson. Granddaughter. Okay, and Theodore G. was a son.
Yes.
All right, now who we left out here? Greenman. Clara?
Clara Turner Greenman.
Clara Turner. And who's, let's see, she was, where does she fit in?
Well, she comes after.
Catherine Ames Turner.
Yes.
So she's a granddaughter.
Yes.
Ames Charles W. Okay. Now we need to know, is there anything about any of these people that you'd like to say into the tape about whether they should or should not be solicited for memorials? I'll start with Charles. With Charles Leslie Ames, his deceased, his wife Linda, you talked to Phil and John about.
Yes.
Mary and Sally Ames.
Well, I talked to Mary about this, and she was going to think about what was the best thing to do.
Oh, fine. Okay, then. We have T.D. and John C. and Shirley Destrebay and Mary Rate McDonald. Is there anything you want to say about any of those people?
Well, I just don't know what the best way to go about that is. Of course, Jack gave us $200 for the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
that's important to say on the card.
Yes. He and his wife contributed.
All right.
In memory of Lucius B. Ordway, Sr.
Oh. Were they related to the Ordways?
Certainly. Patty Wright is, Mrs. John C. Wright is a granddaughter of Lucius P. Ordway.
Mrs. John C. Wright. Oh, her name is Patty.
Patty Ordway.
Patty Ordway. Right. I should put her cross reference to Ordway.
Yes.
See, this is
yes
the kind of thing they
yes
want to know that
yes
I don't know. Okay, I'll have to cross reference her now. Another pink card. She goes to Lucius.
To remember that Mr. and Mrs. John C. Wright contributed $200 to the history, Science Museum history, in memory of Mr. Lucius P. Ordway, Sr., who was the grandfather of Patty Wright, Mrs. John C. Wright. John C. Wright is grandson of Charles W. Ames. I think we must be very careful to note the people who gave money to the Science Museum history book, and for whom the gift was in memory of.
Okay. So now we've got Margaret Ames Wright, and we've got Theodore D. Wright, John C. Wright, Shirley Wright Destrebet, and Mary Wright Alexander. Now what about
Mary
Shirley
Wright? What?
Mary Wright McDonald.
Oh, she is Mrs. Sterling McDonald.
Right. Do you think she'd be somebody that would be interested in doing something?
Well, I really don't know. I would prefer to write myself to the different members
of the family,
the grandchildren. Some of them knew their grandfather and grandmother, and some of them didn't. And they, all of them, have many, many expenses. They have children and grandchildren of their own. And I have no idea what their situations, monetary situations, are.
Okay.
And they all live in, most of them do not live in St. Paul and seldom are able to come to St. Paul and have many responsibilities where they live. So I have no idea.
The only ones you definitely would not write to would be Charles Gordon Crothers, because you don't feel he would be interested. So
I'm sure he would not be interested.
Okay. But everybody else might possibly be. Is there anybody else that really should be crossed off totally, do you think?
Well, I really, well, you don't know. I'd have to think about it.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Is this? We'll turn. Okay. For all the descendants listed under Ames Charles W. in the file.
I would like to know what the letter is like that is going out to people with the Ames descendants. It involves the grandfather and the uncle, both of whom were presidents of the museum. And I would like to supplement whatever goes out with a personal note. I have no idea how the solicitation will, what the results of the solicitation might be, because I know that many of these people have many obligations where they live in different parts of the country, or how they feel about mass solicitation.
But you feel that
I'm sure that they would be interested to know more about the museum's plans, and I hope that it would result in a family memorial that would be of some use to the museum.
A lot of them know Charles Wesley too then?
No, most of them didn't know my father.
I mean, Uncle Wesley.
But they did know their uncle Leslie.
Yeah, so that.
And they also care a great deal about the family. But as I say, I am always conscious of the fact that they have many expenses with their own children, grandchildren, and their civic obligations wherever they live. So I do not expect anyone to give any large sums.
Okay, we've done your family. That was a biggie.
Yes. Well, now, this from the Peabody Museum, I want you to see Betty, and
oh, good.
I also feel that it will be maybe a help to Phil and to John.
Okay.
We have been small contributors. My husband has been a small contributor for some years to the Peabody Museum, and we have great admiration for that museum and for its organization.
Okay.
This is the one in Salem, and of course they have been, it's an old museum and has a tremendous number of very, very rich families, the kinds of people who have great feeling of civic responsibility and who have operate on the income of their of their incomes. But I think that this Peabody Museum annual report should be helpful to the St. Paul Institute, St. Paul Science Museum.
That's good. That's great. Okay, well, turn
this.
Okay, they have here in the Peabody Museum of Salem, they have what I think is a good idea and what I suggested in my sheet. For instance, they've got the John Robinson Fund for accessions and upkeep of maritime collections, and for upkeep of the new marine room, the Francis Henry Appleton Fund, income for care and maintenance of Nathaniel Silsby portrait and clock. See, that's the kind of thing I think we should do, because it is can go right into the operating fund.
Yes.
Income for enlargement and maintenance of the ethnological collections. Income for the purchase of additions to or preservation of the Polynesian collections. And these are all memorial funds. There are all sorts of different funds. Well, that's very interesting. A lot of people. Okay.
Well, I think Mr. Amidon was in, might have been the school superintendent.
All right.
I'm not sure, but I'm sure he was connected with the schools.
School.
So you'd better check that.
Superintendent.
Question mark.
All right. Question mark. Okay. James Anderson is a late one, so we don't need to do her. Mrs. Sharon Anderson is a late one. Arthur Lindsay is a late one. George Ayers is a late one. Edwin B. Bear. Now, for them, we have Mrs. Edwin Bramer, 2218 Sargent Avenue. Now,
it isn't Bramer.
Brayman. Yeah. Mrs. Edwin.
Well, she would be a niece of Eddie Bear.
Bear.
And I don't know about anything about Ed Bear's children.
Okay.
Perhaps I should ask her, Barbara, because I know her well.
All right. Should we call her now and ask her?
Yes, I will.
We're at Harry Barnes.
Well, Harry Barnes' widow lives in Arizona, and she comes here sometimes in the summer because she has a place at Gull Lake, and I have try to think of somebody who knows where she is now.
What's the son's name?
The son is Harry Barnes Jr. And he is the new ambassador to India, I believe. He's very high up in the Foreign Service. And there are two other sons. I can't recall their names at the moment, but I will, Barnes. I'll check their names, and they don't live here, any of them.
Okay.
But I'll try to find out.
Atherton Bean is still around.
Oh yes, in Minneapolis. He's a big wheel in Minneapolis.
Charles Beckhoffer.
Well, I don't know anything about the Beckhoffers, but I just remember that they used to live on Grotto.
Okay. Anthony Beechick.
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 Oh, he's a big wheel in St. Paul.
Well, okay.
Very public spirited. Both he and Atherton Bean are very public spirited.
Right. E.H. Bailey.
No, Mr. Bailey.
That was 19.
Died many years ago. He was president of the First National Bank. And Mrs. Bailey died, and their son died, and I don't think he had any children.
Okay. President, First National Bank. Okay, now Ben's, I have a daughter, Mrs. Carpenter.
Mrs. Thomas Carpenter.
Mrs. Thomas. Mrs. George Ben's wife and George B. Ben's son. Now I have to call Aunt Claire and Aunt Frieda because they gave me information on the Ben's.
Oh.
Is it Louise Muller or somebody like that? I'll call them right now. This is the Millards. Well, this is George Benz. Okay. George Benz had two sisters, Laura Benz Dunn and Josephine Benz Millard. Josephine Benz Millard is Mrs. Glenn Millard. Now, I'm confused. I'm looking up Millard. Glenn Millard is West Shore Road, North Oaks, and 42 Kenwood Parkway. I guess they must live both places. So I'll put 42 Kenwood Parkway. Kenwood.
That's
55105. 55105. Okay, now, Mrs. Which is the one who has a son who works in the Omni Theater? Yes, right. Right. Now let's see what his name must be. George B. Millard. Probably. George B. Millard? I don't know, though. Oh, yeah. Probably. 15 Rob Farm Road. According to Claire and Frieda, Josephine Benz Millard has a son who works in the Omni Theater. And this is probably George B. Millard, 15 Rob Farm Road, North Oaks. Okay, and then could be a grandson, but how old is Mrs. Millard? Oh. Then there's Laura Benz Dunn has a son, Michael Dunn, who lives at 23 Pheasant Lane, North Oaks. So there are the two sisters, and the two sisters have sons. And one of the sons works at the Omni Theater, and the other son, they both, I guess, live in North Oaks. And they are both nephews of George Benz. Okay. Now, I really made a mess of this sheet of paper. I'm going to... Okay, there are two boys who work in the Omni Theater who are grandnephews of George Benz. Their names are George David Millard and Ben Herbert Millard, and they work on the planetarium computer consoles as part-time workers. And they both live at 15 Rob Farm Road. Their mother was Patricia Murphy Millard, and their father's name is George Benz Millard. Oh, I've got to go get the phone.
Do you want me to record that about Barbara Brayman?
No, I think we'll wait until we get the names.
Yeah, all right.
All right, now we've got Louis Betts, B-E-T-Z.
I don't know anything about Betts. I would think that perhaps that Clara and Frieda might.
Should I call him?
Well, I think that...
I keep forgetting this. Betts had no children. So that takes care of that. He was a good friend of my grandfather's.
Well, I thought...
Yeah, you were right.
Yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't know. Okay, now we've got Charles H. Bigelow. And we have, under Bigelow, we have Mrs. Richard McMillan, daughter, Bert Bigelow, grandson, Mrs. Charles Bigelow, daughter-in-law, F.R. That's all. Are there, I think we've covered that pretty well. Is there any, we should...
Well, Margaret McKibben.
Seems to me we had her. Charles H. Bigelow Jr. Who was
Margaret McKibben's sister? Was Mrs. the second Mrs. Charles H. Bigelow.
Margaret McKibben's sister was second Mrs. Bigelow's sister. And wasn't Margaret McKibben on the board? Or?
Miss Margaret McKibben. No, I don't think she's on the board. No, but, no, but her father, her father was... one of the early people. I don't know whether he was on the board at all.
That's Is she still alive?
Yes, yeah, she lives out at White Bear.
Seems to me we had her under somebody.
Well, I think
probably,
probably
under her father.
Under her father.
Yeah.
Well, the Mr. Charles H. Bigelow's daughter
is Molly McMillan, and the son was Charles Bigelow. Was there a Charles Bigelow Jr.?
And Edith Bigelow is Mrs. Charles
Bigelow.
Right.
And
then there's Bert Bigelow,
the grandson. Yeah. Okay.
And but Alida Butler's children, the first Mrs. Frank Butler's, she was Alida Bigelow by Mr. Charlie Bigelow's first wife.
She was the daughter?
Yes, she was the daughter.
Daughter of
Charles H. Bigelow.
Bigelow's first wife and Charles Bigelow?
Yes. And her brother, Donald Bigelow, died recently in Switzerland. He lived in Switzerland.
Okay. So it would be Alida.
But Alida Bigelow's
children.
Children. David Butler.
Yeah.
Is a lawyer in Denver. And Allison. I can't think of her second marriage name. She is based in Washington, but lives in I can't remember her last name. I will find it.
And there was another one, Alita. Yes. Alita, wasn't it?
Yes.
Daughter Alita.
Yes, and she lives in Cambridge, Mass.
And these would all be grandchildren of Charlie Bigelow.
Yes, yes, grandchildren of Charlie Bigelow. Lita's two daughters, and David. Perhaps Edith Bigelow would know.
Okay. Great. I didn't realize that about Alida Butler.
Well, her mother had tuberculosis.
No, oh, really?
Died when the children were quite young. And
oh.
then Mr. Bigelow married Alison McKibben.
Oh.
But I think that we have Margaret McKibben down under.
I do too.
Under Mr. McKibben. Well, when we get to the case, we'll see.
All right, now we've got F.R. Bigelow. And under F.R. Bigelow, we've got Eileen Bigelow.
Yes.
And I've got F.T. Bigelow. What's that mean?
I don't know.
I don't either. Oh, I think it should be an F.R.
But
Eileen Bigelow was what to F.R.?
Daughter.
Daughter.
And her sister died recently, so, and she lived in Tennessee.
F.R. Bigelow. Eileen. And daughter. And she is, didn't ever get married,
no.
did she?
She lives at
Nan White Bear.
Yes.
And the other daughter is too far removed.
Hortense, well, she died.
She died
recently.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think her husband's living either. And okay. They live in Tennessee, and
It would be too far a relationship, probably. Other daughter died recently. All right.
Was Mr. Bigelow on the board?
F.R. was on the board from 1919 to 1925.
Uh-huh. Must have kept things going at the Merriam House.
Oh.
I never knew who, in that era,
oh.
who the people were who helped Dr. Sweeney, because it
oh.
was very critical after the in the reorganization after the First World War, you
mm-hmm,
see.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have Blagan, Mrs. T. Blagan, 33 to 36.
Well, Blagan's died a long time ago. He was a dean at the university. And I don't know anything about their children.
Okay.
The Historical Society probably could tell us, but I think that they were both connected with so many organizations that
yeah.
I don't really think that the children would, if there were any,
mm-hmm.
might look in the Minneapolis telephone book to see if there are any.
Well, I don't think it's worth it. Because I really, if you said they were involved with so many organizations.
Well, they were with great many. And Mrs. Blagan was on for 2 or 3 years, I think, wasn't she?
33 to 36.
Yes, that's what I thought, because I remember. But she was a marvelous woman. So was be a wonderful person, and she just was involved with any number of things.
Uh-huh.
She was very helpful.
Okay, Egil Beckmann, 1932-34. Now, I know that Helga knows the family relationships there, wouldn't she? Helga McNair?
Yes.
Of course,
Ann Griggs Ann Griggs' mother was a Beckmann.
What was her name, do you remember?
Freeman, Mrs. Freeman.
Mrs. Freeman.
Well, of course, she's not living.
Daughter, and...
But...
Ann Griggs, which is that?
That's Chauncey Griggs' widow. She was a Freeman, and her mother was Egil Beckmann's sister.
Oh, his sister. I have daughter. Mrs. Somebody Freeman. Do you know what her husband's name was? Helga. Is that Helga's parents?
Helga's mother was... Helga's mother was a Beckmann.
Why don't I call Helga right
yes.
now?
Yes. Focus on.
Yeah. Helga.
So she comes in on the Beckmanns, but she does.
All right.
Well, Egil Beckmann's daughters were. Trudy Folliott.
Oh yes, we have that. Mrs. Peter Folliott.
Mrs. Peter Folliott and
Miss
Mary
Beckmann.
Beckmann.
How were they daughters?
Yes. And they
daughters.
Also, you see, are Mrs. Beckmann. Mrs. Beckmann was J.J. Hill's daughter.
Oh.
One of J.J. Hill's daughters.
Oh, Egil's mother?
No, Egil's wife.
Oh, Egil's
wife was...
I didn't know that.
I think she was Rachel Beckmann.
Was one of J.J. Hill's...
Daughters.
Daughters. Rachel. That's amazing.
So she was Louis Hill's sister, one of Louis Hill's sisters, of Louis Hill Sr.'s sisters. But that